I'm Donna.
And I'm Carrie.
And we are Paranormal Chicks.
Episode 382. And y'all, I don't know what's been going on in Mississippi this last month, but it is dang storming outside again. So if you hear thunder and all of that, that's what you're hearing. It's not like us doing something weird. It's just dang thunder.
Normally, I would blame it on my stomach, but it's not my stomach.
Donna got here and I went back to my room to get something and Jax was already in his safe space in the dang bathroom. I'm like, it's just thunder.
That's what I hate about the summertime, like right now, because it does just rain.
Mm-hmm.
And my yard just grows. Okay, so July 4th has happened since we recorded.
Mm-hmm.
Happy Independence Day, all the things. But we recorded Thursday night, but that was the night that they had fireworks. And so when we got finished recording, Chris was like, you know, Chris, my boyfriend. but Chris was like, if you want to go, like, come get me and we'll go see the fireworks because I really wanted to go. And so we went, stressed me out because I can't really see at night. Like I can, but like when it's a lot of lights and stuff, it's, there are fireworks going on, but it's just the fucking lights and the glares and,
yeah,
you know, all the things. And he's like, you're good. And I'm like, you don't have an astigmatism. You don't have this. Like, you don't know. Got there, watched the fireworks. And it was such like a core memory made, you know. He laughed at me because he's like, you're such a kid. Because I got so excited. They had a smiley face firework. How the fuck?
That is actually really cool.
It's so cool. He said, you were like, it's a smiley face. And I was saying, like, if champagne was a firecracker, it would be that. Like, all the things, because I love fireworks so much. So that was amazing. Then the next day, we didn't really have anything to do. So we went to lunch at this spot that's a local place, but we had never been there. And it's called the Blue Jazz Cafe. If you're ever in Hattiesburg, go. It's freaking amazing. Food was phenomenal. But there was like an entertainer. His name is Charles Carter. And he was there doing like jazz. And then he would just do all kinds of great music. Like the music that everyone knows. And people were dancing. We all had like our hands up at different times. He was working the crowd. We had the most fun, and just seeing Chris so excited and so happy, like, it made me so happy.
Oh, it's like you're in love.
I know, right? So, you know what? There were fireworks on the 4th of July.
Yeah, I gave Maisie and Jax gabapentin.
Gabapentin doesn't do shit for Birdie. Like, she's been on it, and they had to up hers, and it still doesn't do shit for her.
Donna said, did it work on them? I was like, I don't know. I went to bed. But Maisie had taken, they've actually both taken it before. So it's not like I gave them a medicine they've never had. And I was like, ah, they're fine, you know?
Right. So Marley, RIP, when I got her, it was like, because I got her from a breeder and they had like a Facebook group, or they still do. But it was a lot of people who got dogs around the same time. And we call ourselves like the OGs. Because we all got them at the same time. And it's been hard because, like, before Marley passed, there was one who, like, kind of had a similar thing. And so it's just been, like, every year something has happened mm-hmm. to one of the OGs. And today was, like, maybe the second to last OG
Aww.
Who passed away. And it's kind of similar, you know?
Yeah.
But, my gosh, I was just, like, it hurts my heart so much. Just to think about it. But they were able to keep her at home and like let her pass that way with like her little siblings around her, her little furry siblings and stuff. But just hug your animals tight. I mean, your kids, meh, but your animals, hug them tight.
just bitch is crazy.
Just kidding. Love the kids, all the things.
Do you know? I'm going to a wedding this weekend. Now, I've been to one other wedding that was actually fancier than this one, but this one's going to be really fancy. There's going to be like 500 guests.
Ain't no way, not no how.
I think 17 bridesmaids.
Don't even know 17 people.
I know. I'm like, I cannot wait for this. I'm like, the food, Colby's dreading it. But I'm like, the food is going to be so good. Or it's going to be shit. Yeah, yeah, it could be shit. But I really have a feeling it's going to be good. Because it's a coworker's wedding. And one of my other coworkers knows the people from the catering company. Because they were sorority sisters together. And she was like, when her mom would come cook for us, like finals week and stuff, it was always so good. So I'm like, okay, the food's going to be good. That's all I'm excited about.
Well, hell, they better have that food on, like, for real heating pads. Because after they do the walkouts of 17 fucking people, it's going to be fucking cold.
But I don't know what I'm going to wear. I have this dress that Donna said fits. But, well, I had to ask Donna because Colby, you can't trust him. Because I put on this dress and to be, because, you know, it's an older dress and I've gained a little bit of weight. And so I put it on and when I came out, Colby was like, oh my God, you know, you look so beautiful, blah, blah, blah. But you can't trust him because one time I tried on these pants that literally looked like they were a solid three sizes too small. And he was like, oh my God, they look so good. Look at your booty, blah, 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 blah. So I have learned you can't trust him. Thank you for being my ultimate hype guy and thinking I'm beautiful, but you can't be trusted when it comes to clothes. So I tried it on for Donna and she's like, no, it's fine. But oh, I just feel so tight in it.
Yeah, if you're not comfortable, you're not gonna be.
And you know why? You want to know what one of the most uncomfortable things about that dress is? No damn pockets.
Oh, yeah.
What's a girl supposed to do with no pockets? Pockets should be standard on dresses now. We've established this, that everybody loves pockets. It's a thing. Every single dress should have pockets.
When I wear my muumuu and we're like laying on the couch, Chris always puts his hand in the pocket. Mm-hmm. And I was wearing something else and he said, wait, where's my pocket at? And so then he just put his hand in my pants, like under my napkin holder. Uh-huh. I was like, that's not a pocket. Like,
well, it's a pocket of a roll.
Yeah. He said, it's got to be there.
Well, I text one of my friends that also wears the Walmart muumuus. And I was like, do all of your pockets keep getting holes in them? And she was like, no. What the hell are you doing in your muumuus? Every single one of them has a hole in the, like, my hand goes through it. Like, if I put my phone in my pocket because I forget, it falls on the floor.
What do you do?
I don't know. And my shorts from Walmart will do that, too. Apparently, I'm really hard on pockets.
Oh, my God.
That tracks, though. That is on brand for me.
Something else she's hard on, besides me and pockets, is shoes. And you know what you would need good shoes for? New Orleans.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Wow, that was a weird yes, but yes.
And that's coming up, when you hear this, a week.
Yeah.
Like, it's, like, going to be that freaking weekend.
So you better get your ticket. You know,
well, there's not a ticket.
There's not a ticket for us, but there's a ticket to get to New Orleans if you don't live there.
Yeah, but if you're local or you're just driving in, hey, the live show's free. We're going to play some kind of game, you know, keeping y'all on your toes and all.
Yeah, y'all don't know what we're going to do, but we definitely do.
Yeah, totally. But yeah, so it'll be July 25th through the 27th, and we're going to do other stuff, but it's, you know, that stuff will cost.
But we're free. Much like we were when we were single.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you can't make that, don't forget in November, we have a cruise coming up. I won't sing that ever again. Like, I kind of want to cut it. I'm a little embarrassed.
Oh, no.
But for real, we have a cruise coming up. And if you want in on that, because there's going to be lots of other podcasters, it is a true crime cruise. You got to head to crimewaveatsea.com/creep. That's where you put in your information so it can give you, like, you know, all the, well, information.
We would love to see you there.
It's a Royal Caribbean cruise. It's gonna be fun. We're gonna go to their private island and we're gonna pretend like we're rich.
Mm-hmm.
Well, before we get into my story, we have to talk about Miracle Made, because this episode is sponsored by Miracle Made. And look, y'all know that feeling when you had the longest day ever, your back hurts, your brain's fried, you've dealt with a million things, putting out fires all day long, and you finally crawl into bed.
Yeah, like the world could be burning, but if my bed is made with Miracle Made sheets, everything feels a little bit better.
Right, because your skin's not burning because you're on the wonderful feel of Miracle Made.
Uh-huh.
And y'all know we've been using Miracle Made forever. And these aren't just sheets. These are part of our self-care routine now. Y'all heard me with the towels.
Exactly. And even our partners love them because, you know, she got a husband, but I got a new boyfriend. Anyway, It's seriously like we are only using these sheets. We told you the last time we do our laundry to make sure that we don't have to go without the Miracle Made sheets.
And that's because Miracle Made sheets are made with silver infused fabrics inspired by NASA, and that helps you regulate your temperature throughout the night. So, you know, like I said earlier, your skin burning and it, and well, this is why. So no more kicking off the blanket 1 minute, grabbing it the next.
Plus, they help prevent up to 99.7% of bacterial growth, which means fewer odors, less laundry, hell yeah, and clearer skin. Like, we're just living our best clean girl life over here.
And all that wonderfulness about it, but they are super luxurious. It is like the fanciest of hotels that no one can afford, but better because it's your bed, so you know it's comfortable, and you don't have to check out by 11.
So we've all had those long days like Carrie talked about. We've all hit our limit, but that moment when you melt into the bed with these sheets, actual magic. Like Carrie would say, a chef's kiss.
So if you're ready to upgrade your sleep, your skin, your sanity, go to trymiracle.com/creep and use the promo code creep at checkout. Listen, this is what you're going to get. You're going to get 40% off. And then when you use the code creep at checkout, you're not only going to get an extra 20% off, you're also going to get a free 3-piece towel set. And I'm telling y'all, I really like these towels.
And if for some reason you are not in love like we are, you know, me with my boyfriend, her with her husband, and our Miracle Made sheets, they have a 30-day money-back guarantee. So there's literally no risk, just all reward and a great night's sleep.
So head over to trymiracle.com/creep and use the promo code creep at checkout.
Thank you, Miracle Made, for sponsoring this episode and for being the best part of every single night.
Okay, so y'all remember last week when we were in Amarillo and Dory recommended my story? Well, we're doing it again. Dory sent an email with a couple of things, and when I was trying to decide last week, I couldn't decide which one I wanted to do, and so I was like, fuck it, let's do both. So Dory's back today. We're in Amarillo, Texas again, and this is the story of Robin Bledsoe Spielbauer.
Whew, I could not say her name. If I was a receptionist, I'd just be like, Barbara, blah, 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 blah.
Okay, well, it's Robin.
Oh, fuck.
Bledsoe's a brace that we use, so I got Bledsoe.
It's a famous person, too, and I can't think of what it is.
Robin grew up with parents that had been married for like 40 years, like had a great marriage, and that's really what she wanted. But see, here's the thing with Robin. She wanted that life that her parents had, but that girl really liked a bad boy.
Oh, I feel that.
She, I think, might have been like Donna and was wanting to be a fixer.
Yeah.
But you know what, though? Donna's not the fixer with Chris. In fact, Chris is fixing her crazy ass.
He trying to.
So Robin had this really good friend that they worked together at this local restaurant, and they would like go hang out. Now, her friend was always what they called a magnet for nice guys, whereas Robin was the magnet for the bad boys. But I don't think like the creepy nice guys. Like, I mean, I think that people who were good, genuine people, Aaron tend to attract.
Aaron, the friend?
Yes.
Okay. I thought you were using some kind of big word like ergo.
Oh, no.
You know, but like Aaron tended to attract. I was like,
So those two would go out so they could be each other's wing person. And while they were out, they ended up meeting a guy named Jeremy David Spielbauer. And he goes by JD.
Oh, if they go by initials, that's even hotter. But you know they bad.
So JD and Robin hit it off, obviously, same last name. And he seemed like just like such a great guy because he was just like nice, polite, and even better, a man in uniform.
Ooh. When we were going back from the fireworks, there was a man, he was bald, had a beard, and he was a policeman standing there. And I said, oh my God. And Chris was like, hello, I'm right here. And I was like, yeah, this is tame. He said, you really do like a freaking beard and a uniform. I said, you don't even know. Who says no to a beard and uniform?
Not this girl. Look, we all know that, well, you may not know, but that Colby was a dang corrections officer in a prison. And while he was, he only worked there like a year. And while he was there, he was in the, I think they called it like the CERT team, the people that went in and extracted people from their cells. And Colby was the first man in. And that was one of the first questions I had was, excuse me, sir, do you still have that uniform? He doesn't. I said, I will climb you like a tree, motherfucker. Do you have that, though? But anywho's, it's JD was in the Marine Corps. He had seen combat in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Can we just talk about the dog tags, too, though?
I swear to God, y'all, we're going to get through this story. Okay. He did have some issues with PTSD. Like, he didn't like to be in loud places. You know, he just from all the stuff that he had been through as a veteran. He was a mechanic as a civilian. And Robin was just in it to win it. She was like, no, like, I really like this guy. But 2 months in, Robin got pregnant. Her family didn't even know she was dating anybody. And it's like, oh, so I'm pregnant. We're going to get married. And Robin was only like 22 years old.
Did you say when this was taking place?
Like the 2010s. 20-teens. What? How do you say that?
Yeah, 2010s.
Now, the two of them ended up having two kids together. And they did struggle a little bit. But eventually, the two started to attend a church because JD wanted to. And so I think that Robin was just like, all right, he wants to go to this church. So, you know, let's try to make things work. I'm going to go with him.
JD needed a little JC in his life.
So while they were going to church, they met a woman named Katie. Now, Katie also went to said church and she was a single mom, and Katie and Robin became friends. But unfortunately, Katie and JD got a little too close.
Oh, Lord.
And Robin ignored it for a long time. People were like, girl, he's cheating on you. And she really just tried to like make her family work and really ignored it. But eventually it got to the point where she couldn't ignore it anymore. And so they ended up getting a divorce after about 8 years of marriage. Robin moved back in with her parents. Now, as they always do, JD married Katie. Or I guess sometimes they don't. Like, they either marry him or they don't. Which, I mean, duh, there's only two options. But you get what I'm saying? Like,
well,
they either are the type that's like, tell you they're going to leave their wife and they never do. Or they get a divorce and that's, of course, the person that they marry. You see what I mean by that? I mean, obviously, it was an either or 50-50 sitch. Robin did move on and start dating a guy named Jared, but I really think that she had a really hard time letting go of JD. I don't know what kind of power this man had over these two women, but I mean, they were both like in it to win it for him.
How is he going to be the one that wants to go to church and then ends up being the cheater?
Well, because some people think that he started going to that church specifically because of Katie, that maybe they were hooking up before.
Oh.
Don't know. I have no proof of that.
Allegedly.
Yeah, all allegedly. But picture it. It's April 8th, 2014. Now, Robin had gone out on the 7th, like that evening. Remember, she was living with her parents. And when her mom, Jackie, got up, Robin wasn't home. And she's like, what the fuck? Like, I got to get the girls to school. Like, where is Robin? You know, just trying to kind of figure out, like, what do we do this morning? Where the hell is Robin? You know, I'm sure getting pretty frustrated that Robin just maybe fell asleep at somebody's house or whatever and just didn't come home. Cut to about noon that day when a man was driving through this kind of outskirts, I guess you would call it, of Amarillo, came to this kind of, I guess it's a dirt road. It just says like this curved strip of dirt called Helium Road. As he's going down there, he sees these girls like running towards him, terrified, because they had found someone dead. So he goes down to see what's going on to help the girls out. And inside her black Chevy Tahoe, they find Robin dead. So, of course, they call 911. And when the police get there, they can see that there's like blunt force trauma to the head. And that's how they thought that maybe that she died. But just spoiler alert, she was shot as well. Like, they didn't realize it at first.
Oh, my gosh. Also, that's the second time.
I know. So
wait, and it was Dory who had the other one.
Donna, yes. That was yesterday. Well, not yesterday, last week.
I know, but I'm like,
yeah. Oh
my God, you're a hater.
But inside the car, there wasn't any ID. The cell phone was gone. And so they're thinking maybe it was some sort of robbery. So, of course, they like run the plate and realize that it's Robin. So they tell Robin's family. And her mom is actually the one that told Robin's daughters that she had passed. And she's the one that told JD that Robin had passed.
I can't even imagine having to tell your grandchildren.
Literally same. And JD had a reaction that you, it was what you would think he would have, you know, finding out that the mother of his children, his ex-wife, had just been murdered. But as police are doing the investigation, they find something weird. The windows of the Tahoe had some damage to it where it could clearly been hit. But the weird part was there was like this hot pink paint that was transferred onto the glass. So whatever it was hit with was like some sort of plastic pink thing. So police don't know what it is and they don't know how significant it is, but they know that it's 2014 and they know how to do a crime scene. So they're going to collect all the information. So they go to the family and JD and they're like, okay, who would have wanted to hurt her? And of course, they're going to be like, okay, well, what about her boyfriend? And so they look into the boyfriend, and even though it's early on, he really does have a, not a rock solid alibi, but, you know, he was home by about 9:30, played video games, and then went to sleep. So again, not a rock solid alibi, but he wasn't like high on their list. Now, they, of course, look at JD, and he says that he came home, drank a couple of beers, and then went to sleep.
I already feel like it's his new wife.
There was another guy, too, that JD and JD's wife, Katie, both gave to police. But he checked out and, like, he had a rock-solid alibi. So they're like, okay, it's not him.
Can you say that one more time? A rock-solid alibi? I can't say it once.
Well, that's why you do the paranormal. But this is when things kind of took a little bit of a turn. Because they had asked JD, like, were you anywhere near Helium Road? Did you, like, have plans to meet up with her, blah, blah, blah. And he says, no. But then police started reading some text messages. And in fact, they did have plans to meet up. So the police bring JD in for an interview. And let me just tell you, in this interview, I was like, damn. There was a couple of times on these interviews that I was like, damn, these detectives are ballsy. Like, I wish I had the guts to say this kind of shit to people. But when they were bringing JD back for this interview, basically they said, hey, you said you didn't have plans for her and we've got your text. So essentially, if you want to try to remember this again, you know, like, I don't know. It was just so abrupt. Like, we know you're lying. So, like, try again.
Right.
Okay. So on the night of Robin's death, JD said that he was at home drinking, watching TV with his Uncle Ty. Keep in mind, Katie and JD had only been married for like 5 months. This was a very quick whole shebang.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So she was at a friend's house with her son. And JD said that after his uncle left, he fell asleep on the couch and then woke up before 10. And when he woke up, he said that he had this uneasy feeling. And so that's why he sent text messages to people being like, is everything okay? He sent one to his wife, he sent one to Robin, and then he called his Uncle Ty just to be like, hey, is everything cool? Because he said that he just, you know, this uneasy feeling. And Katie had answered back, we're good, but Robin didn't. Wait, I remember what the detective said. He was like, in case your memory's failing you, like, you know, like my memory just failed me. But dang, isn't that, I mean, like, God, I just wish I was like, so straightforward like that, but also clever like that. But so they're like, okay, cool. But like you told us you didn't have plans to meet her and you clearly did because there are texts from y'all on the night that she was murdered with her saying, are we still on for tonight or do we need to reschedule? And then they ask each other, you about ready? Yep. And that text of her saying, yeah, she's ready, is the last text that Robin ever sent.
Oh, my gosh.
JD's like, okay, yeah, true. I didn't murder her, though. And that's why I wanted my uncle there, because I wanted to make sure if Katie showed up, she knew that it was on the up and up. and, you know, nothing she needed to be worried about. And then he says that he never met her, that he and his uncle started drinking and playing pool, and, like, he just, like, forgot to go. And they were like, well, did you tell her that y'all weren't going? And he was like, no, just kind of skipped my mind. I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, no.
That's bullshit. You were supposed to meet somebody. Y'all were, like, messaging, being like, you're ready. Yeah, I'm ready. You ready? Everybody's ready. But then you're just going to all of a sudden be like, oh, you know what? We got to play in that pool and, man, got really focused on that.
Yeah, no, that's not it at all.
Yes.
Also, if he was having, like, a weird feeling and he was texting all these people and she didn't text him back and right. stuff, like, it wouldn't have been like, oh, I forgot. No.
But they also had to look into everybody. So they also start looking into Katie. So they pull Katie in for questioning. And the first thing she says is, I have a question for y'all. Is my husband cheating on me with her? And the detectives are like, well, I actually don't know. But I do know that they were supposed to meet on the night that she was murdered. And Katie is, like, super upset. She's like, basically, like, I fucking knew it. He was cheating on me with Robin. And we really don't know for sure if he was, but seems like they may have been.
Well, he cheated on Robin with her. You can't get mad at him for cheating with his ex when you were the reason they broke up. Like, well, not saying that it's right.
Yeah, she doesn't deserve it, but you also can't be surprised that someone that cheated on their spouse with you.
Of years, like 8 years.
Cheated on you, their spouse. Look, I saw a TikTok the other day and it was somebody saying, I do not do business with people that cheat on their spouses. They said, because if their partner that they sleep next to every single night can't trust them, I damn sure can't.
Oh, shit.
And look, I know that sometimes shit happens and that every single person that's ever cheated in the history of cheating isn't just this horrible person. So if you've ever cheated, I'm not saying you're a terrible person, but if it's somebody that's like a habitual cheater that like cannot be in a monogamous relationship without cheating, because look, shit happens. People are in terrible relationships. I'm not saying, generally speaking, though, if you're a habitual cheater, you're the problem. Well, the police find out from Robin's friend that in like the year before that Robin had gone over to Katie and JD's house to pick up the kids. When she was going upstairs, Katie grabbed her, pulled her off the stairs, got on top of her and started punching her.
Wait, what?
Yes. And so Robin like pushes her off, slams her into the fireplace. And apparently this was like legit happened just like 5 months or so before Robin was murdered.
Wow.
But Katie was very upfront with police that she was like, yeah, I hated Robin. I didn't kill her, but I hated her. So this is the part that the detectives were very like, woo, with Katie, because when Katie was telling them how she hated her so much because she felt like Robin was trying to sabotage her marriage. The detectives were like, maybe so. You sabotaged her. Turnabout's fair play.
Shit. I mean, they did. They cut deep. I was like kind of shady, but they went full fucking shade.
I know. And yes. So then the detectives start looking into their text messages, like Katie and JD. And there are hundreds of text messages that Katie sent to JD, basically being like, you better not be having an affair on me, like saying that, like talking shit about Robin, like I'll break her nasty face. In one message she sent not long before the murder took place, she said, my dreams of a happy family are gone. I will not make you carry this burden any longer. You started this, whether you want to believe it or not, I will finish it.
What the actual fuck?
And so people were like, what? Did she, like, is she basically being like, I'm gonna kill Robin and handle all of this? Because Katie was not one to be messed with. So she had a really hard life. Her dad passed away when she was just 2. Her mom passed away when she was 18. So she did a lot of growing up with a lot of loss. She had times in her life where she had issues with addiction, where she was homeless. She turned her life around for her family. And she's like, I may be all these things and I may have been messaging him all that, but I did not kill Robin. And she says that she and her son were at her best friend's house and that she left there at 10 o'clock, drove straight back home. And she's like, I remember getting to the house and my clock saying 10:18. And so they're like, okay, well, if this is true, where everything is, she wouldn't have had enough time to drive to Helium Road where Robin was killed and be home by 10:20. But then they looked at her phone records and where her phone pinged. This was kind of confusing to me because it seems like where it pinged, it was on this tower that could have been for her friend's house, but also could have been like the Helium Road thing.
Mm.
Because, I mean, think about even here, how many towers we have. You know, I could be sitting at my house and my phone ping off a tower and be sitting at your house and it ping on the same tower, you know?
Right.
So that was a little confusing to me. So really, it kind of proved that she could have done it. But one of the most circumstantial pieces, but also damning pieces, was they found a Facebook photo of Katie with a pink pistol.
Ooh, I told you.
So they ended up finding this pistol at the house, proving that this is the one that did the damage to the window and shot Robin. Katie is like, I did not do this, though. They ended up arresting her for Robin's murder. And Katie is, again, like, I did not fucking do this. And she takes two polygraphs because she's like, give me a fucking polygraph. I will take a polygraph. She takes two polygraphs and fails them. And then they realize too, by the by, after they found that picture, which, I mean, thankfully they did because Katie took that picture off of her Facebook.
What?
So it's like, okay, why'd you take that picture off, Katie? But remember how there was like a, they were like, well, there really wasn't enough time, you know, for her to go from this house to back to her house.
Yeah.
Well, her friend actually told investigators that she didn't think that Katie had left, like when, like she thought her timing was off. And so she said, I think she left my house at about 9:50, not 10. So that would have given her an extra 10 minutes to have gone to Helium Road and kill Robin. So, like I said, Katie gets arrested and she can't make bail. So she's sitting in jail until her trial. So this is when, of course, now it goes from the police to the prosecutor's office to start looking into things, getting ready for the trial. So the prosecution starts talking to JD, and JD kind of starts changing his story a little bit. He says that he actually did meet up with Robin on Helium Road.
Wait, what?
Right. And he pins this on Katie. He says that he was there meeting her and Katie found out about it and showed up and was super angry.
I don't know who did it because he's lied about so many things.
And really, that was kind of like his third story because he had started telling another story and then they were like, well, actually, your phone records show that you were heading towards the Helium Road. And that's when he was like, well, okay, maybe you're right. Because they were like, wouldn't it make sense if, you know, you were going there to meet her and Katie found out? And he's like, yeah, you know what? That's kind of what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Also, what really fucking annoyed me because, okay, the police were kind of like, Katie's the one that wears the pants in the family because, which I think is such a stupid concept because I feel like it should be equal. There's definitely parts where I lead. There's parts where Colby leads. That's just, you know, how a normal relationship works.
Yeah.
But Katie was definitely the more dominant one of the two, according to police, because there were times that JD tried to talk and Katie was like, no, blah, 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 you know. Which it was probably just one thing, but anyway. But when they were asking him about while he was there, he said like three times, I put my foot down. I put my foot down and I said, we're not doing this. Let's go. And I'm like, okay, you put your foot down? Oh, you big bad man, you.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say voodoo daddy, but whatevs.
No. Now, this whole story was on a Dateline, and I think Dateline reached out to Katie first. And so it seems like Dateline really started following this in the middle of it. So they get the whole goods on all this story. So I highly recommend y'all going back and watching that. Because on it, she talks about like how she was raised. She only had an 8th grade education, homeless, you know, pregnant at 15, everything that she had kind of overcome. And she's like, again, I didn't do this. I'm a lot of things. And she says that fight did happen where, you know, Katie attacked Robin. She said that fight did happen, but I didn't kill her. And she's like, I'm starting to think JD did it.
Fuck.
And she tells Dateline basically like that text that she sent about like, you started this, I'll finish it, is like, I'm the one that's going to get the divorce, not I'm going to kill Robin.
Mm.
She said she was ready to file. Like, she already had the paperwork. She just didn't have the money right then to be able to do it. And she's steadfast on, she was at her friend's, she took the kids to McDonald's, she went back, and then she went home. Insert the prosecutor, James Farron. Now, the prosecutor was, like, at work one day, and he overheard one of, like, the administrative assistants or someone talk about that they had been watching a show on TV, so probably a fucking Dateline. I feel like Dateline would have said that, but essentially something like that. And they were talking about how with, like, Android phones, you can track different events, like, with the, like, Wi-Fi and all of that.
Oh.
So they were like, so her phone didn't, we know her phone didn't pick this up, but what about her son's phone? Because her son was with her the whole time, according to her and all. Mm-hmm. And according to Savannah, too, her son was with her the whole time. So Savannah was her friend, if that's really her real name. But because, again, she had the kids with her, went to her friend's house, and then where the discrepancy was, the friend thought that she left 10 minutes earlier than she said she did. So if she would have done that, her son would have been in the car with her.
Oh, shit. I didn't even think about that.
So they look at the son's phone and they find, based on his Wi-Fi data, she was fucking telling the truth. She sat in jail for 15 months for a crime she didn't fucking do.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry, Katie.
So this, I mean, props to this fucking prosecutor for being like, we got it wrong and releasing her. Because they could have fucking doubled down to make themselves not look bad. I mean, they really took a hit to be like, no, we were wrong. And then it all starts making sense that JD set her fucking up for this. He took her gun to commit this crime. A gun that, by the by, was known for like misfiring. Like, it was a gun that, like, if you were taking a gun to go commit a crime, this ain't the gun you pick, because they said that it would fire once and then it wouldn't fire the next shot. So, like, he knew that.
Uh-huh.
But he took that gun because it was her gun. I mean, it's Texas. They all have guns, right? They have many, many guns in the house, but he picked this gun, her gun, with her picture on Facebook holding it with all the things.
Wow.
In order to frame her. And then once she was arrested, he was like, you know what? Yeah, she was. Okay, I was there, but she was there too. She's the one that did it. So now they start getting their shit together for JD. Meanwhile, Robin's poor fucking family, they think her murderer's in jail waiting to go to trial. And turns out it wasn't her. And turns out it's their daughter's ex-husband, the father of their grandkids.
Right.
So the police start looking some more, and they find some security footage in the area that looks like JD's truck. Like, they can't see the license plate, but they're like, it's kind of enough, circumstantial evidence to use. Then they find out from Robin's mother that JD had asked her to buy him a ticket to New York for that weekend. And they were like, go to New York? What? And so they were like, oh my God, is he running? Is he going to Canada? And so that's when they're like, we got to arrest him. So they arrested him. And look, long story short, because I feel like I've taken so long for this story, JD goes to trial. again, he has told like four different versions of what happened that night.
Mm-hmm.
The prosecution ends up using Katie as a witness. And it was kind of a gamble because it's like they had arrested her and now they're using her to show someone else is guilty. So they really had to prove she didn't do it and he did, like doubly as much. But guess what they found out?
What?
Not only was JD a philandering fuckface, that motherfucker lied about being a Marine.
No.
Yep.
Are you kidding me? Wow. And then pretended to have PTSD.
Yeah.
All of that. Oh, my God.
And I feel like that stolen valor bullshit is something that, like, sends people, you know?
Oh,
and
God,
like,
yeah.
If they, I just feel like if this jury was, like, on the cusp even of, like, is he or ain't he, they find that out, they're like, oh, bullshit, he a liar. Guilty, you know?
Yeah. He has lied about everything.
Every single thing. So after the trial is over, the jury only took 3 hours to deliberate and found him guilty and gave him life in prison.
Oh my God. I'm so glad they found the right person.
There are some people that do believe that Katie was involved, even though the district attorney was like, dropped all charges against her, used her as a witness, like, this wasn't like she took a plea or she got immunity. Or, no, like they were like, no, she didn't do this. There's still some people that think that maybe she did have something to do with it. But the data doesn't lie. Her son was with her the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows his Wi-Fi stuff, like that he was here and then he was there. So I don't know. There was a couple of things. There were a couple of like News Channel 10 and then Amarillo.com that had some good websites on this. And then, of course, the Dateline. I was like, holy shit.
Even if she did say, like, if you don't, you know, stop cheating on me with her, like, whatever, but I'm going to end it, whatever, that doesn't mean that she was involved at all.
Right.
Like, she said that as a, don't fucking do this anymore. And then he decided, hey, I can't not put my dick in her. So I'm just going to fucking kill her.
Well, and this is what some people think happened. Because I'm not 100% locked in that he was truly having an affair with Robin. But some people think that Robin was actually like starting to put her foot down. Like she had started dating that other guy. And that she was like, okay, you like, you got to pay me child support and all of that. And so now he was able to get rid of them both with one fell swoop by killing Robin and pinning it on Katie.
Ooh.
And it almost fucking worked.
Mm-hmm. Thank God for her meddling kid.
Right?
Holy shit. Poor Robin in this too. You know, like, it's so like a tennis match, like ping, ping, ping of who did it, who's guilty, that you lose sight that Robin lost her life.
I know. And her poor family, like no parent should have to bury their child.
No.
And then just like the back and forth of who did it, who did, you know, that's just so sad.
Yeah. Well, and I feel like how you said Robin's poor family, they thought they had some sense of closure. And then it's like, well, actually, no.
Right.
And so for the 17 months that Katie was in jail, you know that Numbnuts was over there, like, with his kids. Mm-hmm. They gave him, you know, like, let him spend time with them and all of that. And it's like, all the while, you killed our daughter.
Yeah, and now those kids have lost both fucking parents.
Yep.
Well, before we get into Donna's story, we have to talk about GoPure. One thing about us, we've both had a bit of a complicated relationship with our necks and jawlines over the years.
I don't know about you, Carrie, but I know I have spent way too many years trying to find the right angle in selfies. Like, can I just Photoshop my whole chin out?
Yeah, my gobbler is gobbling. Look, my arm gets tired on video calls trying to hold my arm up in a way that makes my, well, gobbler less gobbly.
Right. Why is it always the most unflattering angle?
But this summer, we're feeling a little bit more confident, and that is thanks to Go Pure's Tighten and Lift Neck Cream.
We've been using it, and not only is it tightening, it really does leave your skin smoother and softer.
I know I told y'all this before, but when I first started using it after like a couple of weeks, I looked in the mirror and I was like, is my neck different? Like, I know I hadn't lost any weight. What's going on with my neck? And then I was like, oh my God, I forgot. I've been using that cream at night.
And Go Pure totally gets that the neck and the chest need special love. I mean, tell that to all the men out there too. But that skin is thinner and more delicate, especially in the summer when you're wearing tank tops and sundresses and you're, what's a fancy word for it?
Décolletage.
Yeah, it's just out there, you know, va-va-voomin.
Exactly. And this formula is so good. It glides on like butter. Absorbs quickly because, look, you know, when you wear a CPAP, you can't have lotion on your face that's too slippy and slidey because your CPAP won't, you know? So I love it because it's not super heavy. It's not sticky. It absorbs quickly. And now it is part of my morning and nighttime routine.
And we also love that Go Pure is cruelty-free, paraben-free, sulfate-free. So it's clean, effective, and not full of weird chemicals that I can't pronounce.
Go Pure has helped over 100,000 women feel more confident in their skin, and now we totally get why. Because with over 1 million jars sold, this beauty secret ain't so secret anymore.
So if you've ever looked in the mirror and thought, ugh, this area could use a little bit of love, same bestie. So Go Pure might be exactly what you need.
And for a limited time, y'all can get 25% off Go Pure with the code APC at checkout.
So just head to gopurebeauty.com and use the code APC and you're all set.
And after you buy it, do us a favor. When they ask you where you heard about Go Pure, tell them it was from us because we're out here fighting the good fight, one double chin at a time. So go to gopurebeauty.com and use promo code APC.
All right, picture it. Omaha, Nebraska, 1854. At this point, it was just in its infancy stage, you know, just beginning to stretch its legs and hopefully not get a leg cramp like I do when I do that. Now, it had the promise of a transcontinental railroad. All I can think about is a continental breakfast, and I'm here for it. But that meant that the trade routes would be buzzing with activity and that Omaha would grow rapidly. But we know with fast growth like that, it's usually some tragedy in there. You know, there's fires, diseases, violent crime because it's overpopulated. Like the city grows too fast for its own good. And so it's no surprise that a place like Omaha has its share of ghost stories from old cemeteries, opera houses, hospitals, train depots, like I mentioned, the railroad. There's one place that we're going to talk about, and that is the Museum of Shadows. It's located in the historic Old Market District at 1110 Douglas Street, and it's a two-story building that dates back to the 1880s. And now before this was the Museum of Shadows, it served multiple purposes. It was a general store, a bar, a photography studio, and even rumored to be connected to the Prohibition era tunnels that's beneath the city.
How you said that general store reminds me of how my mother-in-law calls the Dollar General. She calls it the General Dollar Store.
Oh my God, I did not know that. According to hauntedhouses.com, the attic was a place that had a brutal crime. Well, a murder. It was a sex worker named Anna, and she was stabbed, like, repeatedly, over 50 times by a client.
That's a lot. That's...
yeah.
Very brutal. Like, very personal.
Mm-hmm. Her body outline has been drawn on the floor for effect now, but just to know, like, it's seen its fair share of terrible tragedies before it became the Museum of Shadows. And there's people who still feel her presence there today. Some visitors say Anna communicates during the paranormal investigations, but other peeps just say they get an overwhelming feeling that they're not alone in the attic. The Museum of Shadows was founded by a husband and wife duo who are paranormal investigators now. Their names are Nate and Kaylee Ratterman. Now, I listened to an interview they did on a podcast called Darkness Radio, and Kaylee said that she has had experiences with the paranormal since she was a little girl. Growing up, she would have dreams or premonitions when she was 6 to 10 years old, and it would be mostly about immediate family members dying. And I mean, if that's not tragic enough for you right there, that's a whole lot of trauma to endure when you're like, I had this terrible dream and it's like, oh, honey, it was just a nightmare. Like, it's not going to come true. A little bit later, it does.
How old did she say she was?
6 to 10.
Jesus.
Yeah. And now she is a psychic medium or clairvoyant. Now, Nate said he had a completely different introduction into the paranormal realm. He was mostly a skeptic, like Carrie, like highly skeptical, but a little bit of like, you know, I'm not gonna play with the Ouija board type of skeptic.
I'm skeptical. I'm not dumb.
Well, but then in 2006, he had bought a home and it ended up not being his dream home, but a nightmare. You know, I always say that when I start that in my stories about a house.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he had everything happen from phantom footsteps to doors closing by themselves, all the way to seeing a full apparition. Now, together, they have 12 years of investigative experience. Also, Nate has dealt with some demons, so he could be called a demonologist. And they have this group called the Tri-City Research and Investigation of the Paranormal, or the acronym is TRIP.
I thought you were going to say together they have 12 kids, and I was about to be
holy
like,
shit.
As they say on I Think Not podcast, it's a lot of kids.
It's a lot of kids, yeah, whole lot. So they opened the museum originally in Elmwood, Nebraska in 2016. But in 2019, they relocated it to Omaha, and it's because they started collecting more and more things and they needed room. Now, the museum isn't just a showcase of spooky, odd, and end things. It has a collection of over 3,000 items that's believed to be haunted, cursed, or spiritually charged in some way. And if you're thinking Museum of Shadows, this sounds familiar. You might have watched their series on Amazon Prime. It's been 2 seasons of it called Museum of Shadows. And the museum has been on Fright Club on Discovery ID with Jack Osborne. Now, let's talk about the artifacts because there's a lot of them, right? We're not going to go through all of them because 3,000, are you kidding me? These items have come from private donors, or they've been found at abandoned properties. And some were handed over by people who were just like, like, I will give you money to take this away from me. Like, I do not want it in my life. But also, I know you're not supposed to burn things or, you know, whatever. And the items range from eerie to disturbing. Like, tons of dolls, of course. And also some Ouija boards. There's animal bones that are from animals that were used in rituals, and even a chest x-ray of a shooting victim. And in order to be accepted into the museum, an object has to have verified signs of haunting. So, I mean, obviously you can't have like a certificate of haunting or anything that's doing it, but Kaylee and Nate personally investigate each one. And there's some artifacts that don't pass their process, like, and get mailed back to the sender. One example was a coffee mug, and a woman had sent it in and was like, look, this moves on its own, and it belonged to her grandmother who had passed away. But Kaylee and Nate did everything they could, you know, like, did the whole investigation with, like, the EMF reader. They did EVP sessions, all of that. And like Kaylee wasn't getting any kind of reading off of it. And Nate was like, you know what? Like, we're going to send this back. And basically, grandma's not attached to the coffee cup, okay? Like, it could have been legit how it gets, like, the condensation and then it moves on the table.
Yes.
It could have been something like that. And maybe this woman was dealing with grief of losing her grandma and thought this was, you know, like, who knows? But they were like, look, we're not going to have this because we can't verify it.
Or maybe if it really was haunted, probably not, but if it really was, maybe it was more attached to the place and not the object.
Very true. Now, there's a lot of dolls, but there's one notorious doll, and her name is Ada. Now, people say that she can cause nightmares, violent mood swings, and even some physical phenomena. And just like Annabelle has been, she's behind glass and, you know, a sign saying, do not touch, do not talk to her. And, you know, like, if you value your life, don't bother Ada. Because she has been seen turning her head, moving her arms and legs. And one time she leaned forward and like slammed her face against the glass before sitting back up. So what? So it wasn't like she just like fell over and it's like, oh, she hit the glass. No, that bitch went whoop, right back up. Now, the story of Ada is that she was first discovered in a house that was bought by a family who again thought, oh my God, house of our dreams. And then they discovered a doll, but that's not so bad, right? The husband didn't think anything of it, threw it away because, hello, whatevs. Then it was back. So then he threw it away 20 miles away in a landfill. And then 2 years later, that bitch showed back up at the house, but without her eyes.
No. What is this, fucking Toy Story? Absolutely not.
Like, can you imagine? It's like, oh, creepy. You know, you throw it away. And then it's back and you're like, you know what? I got your number. Like someone probably took it out of the trash. Is just playing with me. I'm going to go to another fucking town over, throw her away. And you're like, gotcha, bitch. 2 years later, when you just chilling, probably with your hand down your pants, like
right in your napkin Al Bundy, holder,
yeah. You know, like just chilling. And that motherfucker comes back without any eyes. No. So they sent her over to Nate and Kaylee and good riddance, you know?
She's your problem now.
And hell, they probably had to lock her in the cage because she would have been going back to that family's house.
For real.
9 years later, she came with no eyes, no, like really looking like the Toy Story doll head that's on like the machine yes. body.
What in the Sid is going on here?
Right. Now, another item is a horned mask that reportedly triggers like drum beats and chanting when you're near it. And then there's this Turkish oil lamp. Again, it reminds me of that oil lamp that my friend's dad had. And I think we've talked about it where it drips the oil down. It always just skeeved me out. Because, like, how is the oil with the light and all the things? Like, I don't know. It was just one of those, I don't know, weird things to me. Anyway, so this Turkish oil lamp, it's just like Ada where it has to be stored in glass. And that's because any physical contact with it will cause illness. So we don't need me or Carrie being close to this thing at all. We are not going to rub the magic lamp. We're not going to do any of that shit. And if you thought we were finished with the dolls, I told you they had a shit ton of them. And another one is Claire. Now, she lives in the basement. And according to Kaylee, who is, again, a clairvoyant, she has been quoted saying, yeah, Claire, I don't have anything to do with her. So if she's feeling that, like, she doesn't do anything with her, like, you know she's giving off some negative vibes. Before she was locked in a display case, some visitors had wanted to touch her, wanted to do all the stuff, and they plucked pieces of her hair.
What?
Uh-huh. Big mistake. Huge. Because those people later, doop, boop, 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 called in to Kaylee and Nate and were like, my life has been pure fucking chaos, hell, tragedy after tragedy. Like, they had a car crash, someone had lost their job, personal disasters after they took Claire's hair. Because also, don't fucking mess with anyone's hair. Anyway, Nate and Kaylee was like, the only thing I can say is, if you have the hair, like, you know, if you still had it, and I don't know, what you doing? Like, rubbing your nose with it? What's going on?
Why would that be what they were doing with it, Donna?
I don't know, because, you know, like, sensory stuff, like, I'd be like, Anyway, maybe that's what I would do with Claire's hair, but, okay.
Why is that what you thought?
I don't know. It says so much more about me.
It really does.
But, like, you know how a cat tail, like, you could just, like, rub it
No one does that.
If you have a cat, do you rub its tail underneath your nose sometimes? Just, like, the little tip, just to touch your nose? It's like a sensor, like a...
My just the tip is a whole different situation.
Oh, God. Okay. But they said, okay, if you have the hair, mail it back, but also apologize to Claire. So, kind of like Robert the Doll, like, write an apology, say it out loud, whatever you're going to do, apologize. And when they did, their bad luck disappeared. There's also a coffin that was used in a funeral home. There's antique mirrors that reflect more than just your own image, and a room called the Darkness. And one thing about the antique mirrors, I have got to take a picture of this crossroads out by my house, okay? Because every time me and Chris drive by it, we're like, don't look in those mirrors. It's going to steal your soul.
What do you mean, Bone Thugs and Harmony? What cross, like an actual road that crosses another one? What do you mean?
Yeah. It's the four-way stop. It crosses.
Who calls it a crossroad?
That's always been a crossroad.
Why wouldn't you just say, look, there's this four-way stop we see all the time we go through?
Well, because it's scarier, because it's a crossroad. That's where people would go to sell their soul to the devil.
Oh.
So that's why it's like, this is the crossroads. And that's why it makes it creepier that there's these two trees, okay? They're cutting down the trees around it, left these two trees. And on those two trees are two mirrors hanging up. Like, big mirrors.
Why?
We have no idea. And now, before that was there, there was, like, it's like an honor system where you could get little baby chicks and stuff. And it's, like, $5 for a chick. And, like, so, honor system, leave the $5, don't take it, blah, blah, blah. And Chris is like, oh, maybe they put the mirrors up so, like, you could see yourself and so you wouldn't steal, you know? And there's a church on the other side of the crossroads, like right in front. He's like, maybe it's like the reflection of Jesus, so you're not going to steal. Well, those chicks have been gone and those mirrors are still there. And like they've been cutting down more trees, but those mirrors are still there. Like, why would you have the mirrors still there if you're like actively cutting down trees and stuff? Why are they there? Anyway, it's creepy as fuck. And we're like, don't look at it, but you want to because it's creepy. Anyway, let's get back to the Darkness, that room. This is where people who pay $10 extra, so it's $15 to explore the museum, but if you pay $10 extra, you can take the sit challenge, and that's in the basement. And so the basement is where they keep the darker items, you know, the ones that have more of the negative energy, a la Claire, but it's called the Darkness.
Can I get a big, how about no?
Yeah, so the staff member will give you a small light, and it's basically your panic button. Like, you can't put the light on or anything unless you're out of there. And then you're guided to one of three spots to sit in. Then they shut off all the lights. And for 10 full minutes, so basically $1 a minute you're paying for this, you sit in complete darkness. No music, no talking, like you don't talk at all. And that right there, too much for me, because you know I'd have to be talking to the ghost, to the whatever. I would be talking. It's just you and whatever is in the room with you. And people have reported hearing voices, being touched, and they're like, look, we were totally isolated. There's no way we could have been touched by anybody, but we were. And if you're feeling extra bold, after 10 p.m., you can pay $40 to join Nate and Kaylee for a two-hour ghost tour.
I bet a lot of people do that.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you get to the basement, they say because it is darker, like the energy there, you can feel the difference in the energy immediately. Which is also why Kaylee doesn't like going down to the basement. But she does it, but she doesn't like it. Guests who visit and do the museum tour, they often report sudden cold spots, dizziness, and a sensation of being watched. There's been people who have paid for the whole shebang, but they leave early on because they've been overwhelmed by nausea or they feel like they're having a panic attack. And not all of these are people like me who go in believing in all of this. It's skeptics kind of like going to prove a point that, you know, they are big, they're bad, and ghosts are not rad. I don't know. I was just rhyming. But, you know, they're the skeptics and they leave white as a sheet like a ghost would, be like, boo, with a sheet on. Okay, bye. There's also been giggles of little girls. So you can only imagine it's the dolls giggling. No, thank you. Cameras have called different things like lights that turn on by themselves and items that roll across the floor. There's been also a painful cry of a boy who had died from a murder weapon that is there that had cut him years ago when he died. They still hear him crying. Now, paranormal teams from all over the country have investigated the museum. And with that brings ghost adventures. Apparently, I'm on a ghost adventures kick.
I'm on an Amarillo kick.
But they visited the Museum of Shadows as a part of their haunted museum miniseries that they had. And during the investigation, Zach Bagans and his team, they had to focus on Ada the doll. And there's also a shadow figure that was caught on camera, moving across the camera on the second floor. Now, at one point, they were all doing a spirit box session and they heard voices say, get out and don't look. And then one that said, I see you. Those words right there, I see you. No, if someone, like if you're in pain and like you're having a troubled day or whatever, and someone's like, I see you, that's powerful. But if I am somewhere that no one else should be and I hear a voice say, I see you, not powerful. Well, it's powerful, but in a different way. They also used EMF meters and they had spikes near specific dolls and antique rocking chair that moves on its own. Now, the museum staff have experienced things regularly. Kaylee said that she's heard footsteps when the building's empty. Again, she feels like random cold blast of air, and she's seen lights flicker so much that her and Nate were like, you know what? We don't want this to be fake. And like, let's make sure that it's not a wiring issue or anything. So they had someone come out and it's like, no, the wires are fine. Like, yeah, it's an old building, but everything's fine. That ain't anything electrical. Now, Nate has captured some EVPs. They didn't say, I see you, but there's definitely been some disembodied whispers and groans and a low growling sound. And I would say that we would go visit the Museum of Shadows. A lot of visitors leave notes in the guest book of like what has happened to them. And there's a lot of headaches that are caused. And Carrie cannot get a headache, okay? Because that will turn into a migraine.
You're not wrong.
And then she'll have her own darkness moment when she has to put the ice pack over her over her head, you know?
Still the best gift I've ever been given. Other than, like, my engagement ring.
Oh, what about my wine tumbler?
I think we said that we were never bringing that fucking thing up again. I think that's what we decided.
Tiffany gets you one damn thing and you love it. I mean, she's gotten her other things, but you know what I mean. Anyway, but a lot of people say the headaches, and then I can't do it because they say nosebleeds. And so, you know, if my nose starts bleeding,
it ain't stopping blood thinners.
No. And then they've had a full-blown panic attacks. They've had that sense of heaviness, and I don't need to feel heavier. They also have a feeling of someone following them room to room. And some people even claim that they have been followed home.
Oh, absolutely fucking not.
Oh, and one thing about Nate and Kaylee, how I said they investigate each item and they'll send it back if they don't think it's haunted. They also send back items that they think are too dangerous.
So these poor people that try to get rid of the shit that's too much for them because they have somebody that they're like, okay, these people will take it from me. And then turns out those people won't take it either. They're right. Fucked.
Can you imagine if you had something that was like spooky that you didn't like, but you're like, okay, we got to be a little sensational. So they'll take it. And then they're like, you were too sensational. Like, fuck.
Maybe old Zacky Zack would still take it.
Oh, you know he would. His dick got hard just thinking about it. Too dangerous? Please.
I'm definitely going to get possessed tonight.
Now, Nate and Kaylee do routinely cleanse the space with ritual, smoke, and prayer to try to keep the energy in check. Because they want you to experience things, but they don't want to put you in danger.
What kind of prayer, I wonder?
I don't know. Now, there was one visitor that when I read this, I was like, oh, God. She claimed that her back got scratched when she was standing by one of the dolls' case. And then on that same tour, someone else fainted during the flashlight tour part. And when she woke up, she saw, quote, a man in the corner staring at her with dead eyes.
That's me at every bar.
But then when she looked around, she was just in the room by herself.
Damn.
But also I want to be like, where the fuck did you other people go? They were like, well, she's down for the count. We'll just go on to this next room.
Wait, that's so true, though.
But I don't know if like they had went somewhere to get something, you know, like, I don't know if they're like first aid kit. Fuck if I know. Or maybe she meant like no one else was like in that corner at the time. I don't know. But one thing is for certain, everyone walks out of the Museum of Shadows feeling a little different than when they walked in. So enter at your own risk. But if you do, we want to hear about it. So send it in to us at aparanormalchicks@gmail.com for the sinister sightings.
Oh, I like that plug.
You know I love a plug.
I was just about to say. Buse bar plug, butt plug.
Oh my God, we were in the pool at Carrie's house and she pulled out this like clear, like just a floaty, but it was a tube. And it had like iridescent glitter confetti in it. And I was like, oh, this would be a beautiful butt plug.
Said no one ever. Like, who was like, oh, this?
Because it's the kind that, like, you can move the glitter confetti around still. It's not just like, oh, yeah, it's like a glitter butt plug. Yeah, that's been done. No, this one, you know, you could, like, shake it and have it shake, you know, all the things.
Donna's twerking with her butt plugs in. Blood plug is what I said.
Well,
whatever you're into, man. Hey, Dory, thanks for these 2 weeks of recommendations. And if you want us to cover a story, send it to us in our email. Like she said earlier, paranormalchicks@gmail.com. And also, don't forget to like, subscribe, review, all the things. And remember,
creep it real
and don't get scared.